From the heart of our nation's capital, this is Washington Watch Weekend Edition. Now, here's your host, David Salkeld.
This week on the Weekend Edition of Washington Watch, the administration goes for your guns and lies to your face, and the legislature in Missouri needs your help. Greetings, fellow patriots. I am David Salkeld, and I'm a constitutional conservative, Christian husband, and Reagan Republican. On Tuesday of this week, President Biden announced a new executive action to reduce gun violence, or, as those familiar with the Constitution call it, a gun grab. Of course, congressional Republicans are not at all on board with that, and one of those representatives, Dr. Greg Murphy, joined Family Research Council President Tony Perkins on Wednesday to talk about what Republicans can do to fight it. Here's Tony Perkins.
Congressman Murphy, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Good afternoon, Tony. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Good to see you. So, like many things that the Democrats push, President Biden's executive order has a title that sounds like something we could all get behind. But what issues do you have with what he's proposing?
You know, just specifically, when you look at this, Tony, this is what the president wants. He wants everybody who has a gun to be on a registry, every law-abiding citizen to be on a registry where that if, God forbid, something were to happen, they would know who law-abiding citizens had guns. The sad thing is, this is an absolute aberration and misunderstanding of who commits crimes with guns. It's not law-abiding people, but that's who he's after. He wants to have all those things in a nice little place so that he can put people out or go to them that they have guns. And so it's just an absolute attack on the Second Amendment. And you know, this administration, you've seen this, Tony, is time and time and time again becoming weaponized against the law-abiding citizens of the country. And this is just another avenue, absolutely another avenue in which he's trying to do this.
Yeah, I want to talk about who uses guns legally and illegally. But first, what legitimate purpose is there for a national gun registry? Why does the federal government need to know who has a gun? What purpose is there?
Well, Tony, you might be able to tell me because I don't know of one. I don't know that there is something, any need for the country, the members in the politic, the government, to know who owns a gun and who does not own a gun. I'd love for them to know which criminals own guns. That I could probably get behind that. I say that in jest in some ways, but absolutely law-abiding citizens, that's not the right of the government. We have a right to own a gun for hunting, for self-protection, the government has no right to intrude upon that privacy.
Well, Congressman, I want to go to that issue of those who use guns, the criminals who use those guns, and I'm sure you're very familiar with all the statistics, but according to the government's own statistics, 90% of those who were in prison for gun-related crimes, they did not obtain their gun legally. I mean, how will these types of laws keep guns out of the hands of criminals?
They won't. They won't, Tony. And this is the difference in the politic and the rationale between what I believe are conservative and liberals. Liberals love to enact laws and enact policies that make you feel well, feel good about yourself, feel good about what's happening. I think conservatives tend to be sometimes dispassionate to our default, but to the point we're actually making rational decisions. We're thinking about the secondary, tertiary, quaternary consequences of actions, rather than just what liberals love to do. They like to make policies and laws that make them feel good. They really don't have true essence in their in execution. And so I don't think it really does anything.
Well, just one correction on that, Congressman, and I know you know this well. While it may make people feel good, there are unintended consequences
Absolutely.
That come for these that actually trample upon constitutional freedoms and the rights of law-abiding citizens.
Absolutely. And that's what I was saying. They don't think about the secondary consequences of how this could infringe upon the rights of Americans as guaranteed in our Constitution. So, again, this is why they don't, in my opinion, make rational and good reasoned decisions.
So the president, they always use, you know, the backdrop of some, you know, mass shooting to announce some kind of new gun control measure that they're pushing. Let me ask you this question based upon what the president put in place with his executive order, how would that have stopped any of the recent shootings that we've seen in the country?
It wouldn't, Tony. And again, it plays upon people's emotions. It plays upon people's fears. And they always, as you know, as our wonderful liberal friend said, never let it put a crisis to waste. And this is where you play upon the emotions and you make knee-jerk responses and knee-jerk policies to something that really, in effect, doesn't really get to the root cause of the issue. And that's what they're doing in this particular circumstance.
So, Dr. Murphy, you and your colleagues, you've seen this coming. You've recently reintroduced, along with Michael Cloud, a bill to prevent the federal government from building this federal firearms registry. I mean, there's, I think, close to like a billion records they have of gun ownership. Right now, this does not have to be transmitted to the federal government, but now they're requiring them to keep these, apparently through this executive order, keep these, I think it was through the previous legislation, keep these records indefinitely. So what would your legislation do that addresses this or preempts a federal firearms registry?
Well, Tony, you know, we want to stop what they're trying to do. We're saying that it's not legal to produce a universal registry. And going back to the fundamental problem, the government does not have that right to invade our privacy that we have, that we protect our Second Amendment rights. And so what we're trying to do legislatively is to reinforce the fact that the government does not have that right. Now, as we can see, Biden right now is trying to, President Biden is trying to trample upon that right. And so we're trying to legislatively try to block that and say, no, that cannot be done.
Now, speaking of the Second Amendment, Congressman Murphy, you've introduced a bill in Congress that would protect the constitutional Second Amendment rights of military families. Tell us about that one.
Yeah, so, you know, I live in a very military heavy district. We have Camp Lejeune, New River Air Station, Cherry Point, and I actually have one out of seven of my constituents as veterans. This is a very military heavy district. And so now when a member of the military moves with his or her spouse, they are afforded to be able to purchase a gun, but that spouse is not afforded to be able to do that, unlike in carryover from other states. So we're basically saying if they had a right to do that before, they had access to have a gun before, that ability should follow them, should be able to go into their wherever they're in their new station. So we're just trying to introduce the fact that they were law-abiding citizens, maybe at another station, and when they get moved to a new base or something, they should carry with them that same right to have an arm, to carry an arm.
It makes perfect sense to me. I mean, these are the men and women whose families are defending us. They ought to be able to defend themselves if necessary.
Absolutely.
Now, a part of the executive order, back to the executive order the president issued, it requires the Department of Defense to develop and implement principles to further firearm and public safety practices through DOD acquisition of firearms. And I want to make sure I'm not reading too much into that, but can you explain what that does?
I'm not quite sure, Tony. I think what they're trying to do is say, well, you see the existing law that's on the books. We really want to weaponize it. We really want to push it further. And therefore, you know, say, for example, you had a gun you wanted to sell to a cousin or something. All of a sudden, they're going to push and say you're an arms dealer. You're someone else that should be sanctioned, should be registered, and all these other things. It just continues to push the envelope where I think our liberal friends would love to no longer allow each of us to have guns. But that said, it's a further weaponization of this administration to try to take our Second Amendment rights. And I don't think this stands up constitutional muster, as with many of his executive orders.
Yeah, we're up against a break, but that was going to be my next question. Can this executive order, and do you think this executive order, I should say, will be challenged in court?
Absolutely, and I don't think it will go any. I think it will be absolutely blocked.
Okay. All right. Dr. Murphy, I think you're going to stick around with us because I want to talk with you about the president's speech today regarding prescription drug prices and also once again, taking a shot at Republicans saying they want to defund Social Security, cut funding for Social Security. I mean, I've heard that almost every day from the Biden administration, despite the fact that Republicans have repeatedly said, we're not cutting Social Security. We're not cutting any of those benefits like that. So anyway, we're going to talk about that next. Thanks for sticking with us.
Great.
And folks, we're going to be coming back with more Washington Watch. We're going to be talking not only more with Congressman Murphy about the president's speech today in Las Vegas, but we also have news for you on the 51,000 petitions that were signed to Walgreens. Those were delivered today. So we're going to talk about that. And go woke, go broke. All of that and more in this edition of Washington Watch.
What do we do when our world is driven by cancel culture? God's prophet Jeremiah faced a similar dilemma in his own age. The Israelites had turned to evil, yet the Lord called Jeremiah to proclaim truth amidst a culture that had rejected it. God has given Christians today the same command, to stand for truth. Starting January 21st, you can join FRC on a 40-day journey through the book of Jeremiah. This study is part of FRC's Stand on the Word Bible reading plan, and the book of Jeremiah is a perfect place to jump into reading God's Word. To help aid your study, FRC has launched a brand new study guide titled Jeremiah, Courage in a Cancel Culture. Each day's study includes questions for reflection and a place for taking notes. Order your copy at frc.org/Jeremiah. Through this study, we pray we will draw closer to the Lord and be emboldened to stand firm for biblical truth. Find Tony's daily Stand on the Word video devotional at frc.org/Bible and jump into Jeremiah with us by going to frc.org/Jeremiah.
Retail pharmacy giants CVS and Walgreens recently announced they now plan to carry chemical abortion pills, which the mother self-administers, often while alone, to induce an abortion. Thousands of Christians have signed a petition pleading with them not to facilitate the fastest growing form of abortion, which also inflicts the greatest harm on women. Come join the petition and tell Walgreens and CVS that pharmacies should not become abortion facilities. Just text PHARMACY to 67742.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, your host. The website, TonyPerkins.com. Just a couple of hours ago, President Biden tried to spotlight his plan to lower prescription drug costs for seniors while making the case for his massive budget proposal. He also claimed that the provisions of the so-called Inflation Reduction Act are starting to take effect. But I'm wondering, will anyone buy into that idea that more spending is what the country needs right now? Here with me to continue our conversation about this, Congressman Greg Murphy. He's a member of the House Ways and Means Committee and the Doctors Caucus. He represents the 3rd Congressional District of North Carolina, and he's still a practicing physician and a member of good standing of the North Carolina Institute of Medicine. Congressman Murphy, thanks for sticking around through the break.
Yes, sir.
I watched the president's speech in Las Vegas, and frankly, it seemed to be just a part of his giveaway tour, just talking about more good things that he can give away to people at taxpayer expense. But I want to get your thoughts on the president's remarks today.
You know, Tony, I try to be charitable as best as I can. But as we were speaking to a few minutes ago, this is the liberal idea that we make people feel good and we'd love to throw out gifts and there are no consequences. There are absolute consequences. We saw them if you want to explore the Silicon Valley Bank going bankrupt or going under. We look at the rates that the Federal Reserve has had to put out to try to stem inflation, all a direct result, of the reckless spending that we had over the last 2 years under his direction. And so, yes, he loves to go out and say, we're going to give away, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And it makes people feel better. But it has to. But we actually have to have adults in the room that understand that these policies have led us in a very, very dark place. He just simply doesn't understand it. He's been in Washington for 50 years, and he's just absolutely, he and his administration, for that matter, are absolutely out of touch with the American people and the American condition.
But it's as if the government is the solution to every problem.
Absolutely.
And of course, that's what has led us to the point of $32 trillion in debt. It's just kicking the can down the road and becomes more expensive with every kick.
Yeah.
I want you to address this, because the president made this comment again today, and I talked about it before the break. He said, you know, he went back to a State of the Union address suggesting that Republicans want to cut Social Security, but he even has members of his administration out doing the same thing. Over the weekend, sure, he had the director of the Office of Management and Budget, Shalonda Young, out there saying the same thing. I want to play this clip and get you to respond to it. Clip 11, please.
Let me be clear. The top existential threat to Social Security is those in this town that want to cut it. I wish we were in the part of the debate where we could talk about extending. This president chose to focus on protecting benefits, and that's what this budget does.
Congressman Murphy, can you tell me who is proposing a cut to Social Security?
No one. And the Republicans have made that very clear. And let me be very, I try to be charitable, Tony, but this president is the most deceitful president that we've ever had in this country. He is absolutely lying to the American people. Yes, we do have a responsibility to make sure Social Security is solvent, and it is there for all the Americans that have put into it, but he is absolutely lying to the American people. And he continues this trail of lies. And for the administration, other officials to get in on the lying trail, it goes back to a very famous political propagandist who I will not mention because of the nature of his comments, is that if you tell a lie as many times, if you continue to tell a lie, people start to believe it. So that's what he's doing. He's absolutely continuing on that. And it is just a tragedy. You can't have somebody in the member of politics get up and tell the people the truth. And that's what he's not doing.
Congressman, I agree with you 100% because I have asked every member of Republican leadership that has come on this program about whether or not they're going to cut Social Security, and everyone has said that's not even on the table. We have said clearly we're not going to cut Medicare, we're not going to cut Social Security, we're looking at the discretionary spending is yep. where they are looking. And I think this is what upsets people so much when we look at politics, is that when there is outright deception and you cannot believe what your leaders are telling you because they're, as you said, they're lying, that just undermines the trust in our government. And I think when you see what's happened in the last...
Tony, even to another point, I consider this truly elder abuse. Let's just be very clear about it. It is lying. It's no different than commercials on TV or spam callers that take advantage of people's credit card numbers and get millions of dollars out of their account or whatever they have in their accounts. This is a lie, and so it's abusing our senior population by lying to them. And to be truthful, honest, he should be ashamed. He should absolutely be ashamed of what he's doing, and as well as his administration. It is shameful to lie to our senior citizens like this.
But this is the fear-mongering that we've seen in the last few years with government scaring people, because when people are scared, you can lead them pretty much anywhere you want them to go. We saw this through COVID. You're a doctor. We've talked about this. You've seen this. I mean, is this what we have to expect now from government?
Well, I think that's what we've learned to expect from this particular president. I don't know that we have to expect it from government, nor should we expect it from government. But this president, excuse me, is in his inaugural address, came out and said he was going to be the unity president. Then he went to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue and began the most divisive presidency, in my opinion, in this nation's history. Racial relations are worse now than he's ever been. And so I'm trying to be a good Christian about this, Tony, but he's lying through his teeth. And it is a very, very sad fact. And he's playing upon the emotions and fears of our senior population and our population as a whole.
Well, Congressman, I think we're right to speak truth as charitably as we can, but we have to speak truth because there's really two visions, if you will, of where America can go. We can live in a world of fear-mongering and of being frightened at every turn, or we can cast a vision of what we can become if we take responsibility.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Congressman, always great to see you. Thanks so much for being generous with your time today, and appreciate you being on Washington Watch.
Thank you so much, Tony. God bless.
You can find out more about Dr. Greg Murphy when you visit tonyperkins.com. We also invite you to check out our new site, The Washington Stand. You'll find news of the day there brought to you with a distinctly Christian perspective. You can find a link to The Washington Stand there at our website, tonyperkins.com.
Are you looking for a convenient way to stay up to date on conservative news? Do you want access to Christian resources that will help you remain informed and engage in politics and culture? Then download Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. With all of our content available at your fingertips, you will easily be able to keep up to date throughout your busy day. The Stand Firm app will give you access to a variety of resources, such as our most recent radio programs, Washington Stand articles, social media posts, and publications. Additionally, you will have the opportunity to make your voice heard with our Take Action tab, allowing you to connect with your state and federal representatives regarding campaigns and policies that are important to you. Visit the App Store on your smartphone or mobile device and search Stand Firm to download Family Research Council's official Stand Firm app.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of Washington Watch. I'm David Salkeld. With the help of Family Research Council, states across the country have been adopting SAFE Acts, legislation to protect vulnerable children from the scourge of state-sponsored transgenderism. On Thursday of this week, Tony Perkins had a conversation with Missouri State Legislator Mike Moon about his state's SAFE Act. Here's how Tony Perkins got that conversation started.
All right, listen up, all of you in Missouri. All right. I know there are a lot of you, so listen up. On Monday, the Missouri State Senate will return from a week-long spring break and pick up where they left off, a weekend-long spring break. They're going to pick up where they left off with Senate Bill 49. All right. This is a piece of legislation we've talked about a lot. Missouri Save Adolescents from Experimentation Act. It's a SAFE Act. It's one of those that we've been promoting in various states, and they're moving quite rapidly. Well, it's kind of been delayed. It hasn't been voted on yet. There's Democratic opposition to it, but a group of Republicans in the Senate will try to force a final vote on the bill this next week. And they're being led by the bill's sponsor, State Senator Mike Moon. He joins us now to discuss the measure and how you can help. Senator Moon, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Mr. Perkins. I'm grateful to be on your show.
Well, a lot of our regular viewers and listeners hear often about SAFE Acts because they're moving across the country. Many red states are passing these to protect children. But just so our folks are completely familiar with this bill, because they differ from state to state, what does it do there in Missouri?
The SAFE Act, Senate Bill 49 in Missouri, will prohibit the hormone therapy and also surgical therapies and procedures on minor children in the state.
Pretty straightforward. Just protecting children. And these are the ones under 18. We don't let them do a lot of other things, get tattoos, buy guns and alcohol. Makes sense that we would wait until they have matured to make these life-altering decisions. So what happened last week before you went into the break for the spring?
Well, the bill had been called up the week before that. It was filibustered for a short time, and then it was laid over on the informal calendar. And the informal calendar will allow it to be pulled up at any point, and it really doesn't have to be brought up again. But we have the assurance that it will be brought up again on Monday the 20th when we return from spring break. And we hope that the Republican leadership will allow the Democrats to actually see if they want to take the floor and keep it to show their resolve. We have yet to force their hand, and I think it's high time that we do that. So we're hopeful that the bill will be perfected on Monday or the following day, and then be third read that same week and send it over to the House for them to take it up and pass it out and send it to the governor.
So, Senator Moon, you're preparing for this. You've put out a call for people to come to the state capitol there in Missouri on Monday morning, a prayer gathering. Tell us about that.
Yeah, at 11:30 a.m. on Monday the 20th, we'll have prayer in the first floor rotunda. And folks across the state are welcome to join in. And then at 2 o'clock, we'll have rally and filibuster watch. This will be a time where those who join us can actually talk to their senators and get them to pledge their support. And then we need to put pressure on the leadership too, to allow the Democrats to filibuster until they wear themselves out or until we can get this bill to a vote.
Give us the makeup of the Senate there in terms of the breakdown party-wise and the ideological breakdown of the Senate.
We have 34 senators in Missouri, 24 are Republicans. And for this bill particularly, I have gotten pledges of support from all of them. So there's no reason we can't bring the bill to a vote. It's just that now we just need to have the resolve of the leadership to allow it to play itself out. And there is an option that many don't really care for. It's called the previous question. We call it PQ for short. Right. And what that would do, if it's promoted and passed, it would stop all debate, the filibuster would be stopped, and the bill would come to a vote. If we get the bill to a vote, I'm confident that we'll have 24 votes in support.
What would then be the next step for this bill?
Then it would be third read. We're in the perfection phase now. That's a common name that we can amend the bill if needed. And then the next step would be third read, which could happen the next day. And then from there, it would be sent to the House. They would start the process all over again. And hopefully they would pass it out without changes. And then it would be sent to the governor.
What do the prospects look like in the House?
Very good. We enough support, I believe, to send a bill such as the one we are deliberating in the Senate. And I believe it could be passed without changes. And even if it is changed slightly, it could go to conference committee with a contingent from both the House and the Senate. We could pass it out from there, and then it would go into the governor for his signature at that time.
All right. All right, Senator Moon, so I got this clear. Monday morning, 11:30, a prayer gathering at the state capitol there. Yes. In Missouri, followed by a rally at 2 p.m.?
You've got it correct. That's right.
All right. Well, we're going to encourage all our listeners that can make their way to the state capitol there in Missouri to join you on Monday. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you for your leadership in protecting children.
You're welcome, Tony.
All right, Senator Moon from Missouri. All right, folks, you can make plans. You got plenty of time now to plan for next Monday to show up at the state capitol there in Missouri to pray. Man, what a great opportunity to pray. We ought to be gathering in state capitals all across this nation praying for a lot of things. But we need to be praying for our children, that they're not the target of this hideous agenda seeking to mutilate them spiritually, physically, and emotionally.
Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. I'm David Salkel, thanking you for being with us. I look forward to having you back here again next week for the weekend edition of Washington Watch with Tony Perkins.
Washington Watch Weekend Edition is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com.